This call is being recorded.
Hello.
Oh. Hello.
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 Why am I not getting any love here? Ooh. I don't know. Pages. On my own.
Good morning or otherwise.
Good morning.
And I mean good other things, not bad morning.
Oh. Okay. Well, looks like the pages exist, that's good. What is this? Oh, it's actually pointing to the right thing. That's amazing. All right. Welcome. Welcome to the new year. Happy New Year, everyone. Good. year ago, we had a new Vima demo. If anybody...
Happy New Year to everyone.
Welcome to the Developer's Call. As folks know, this is your call. This is a developers forum, a chance for folks involved with and interested in development in the OpenMRS community to get together on a weekly basis and just try to move the needle forward and be productive. Every few months, we do what we call a topic fest and throw out ideas for topics so that we have at least ideas for things that we want or wanted to discuss at one point in time from which to work and use those for agendas. But we can reshape it. We can add agenda items or we can move things around as priorities change. We just need to hear from folks when you think that community should be talking about something and we don't have it in our agenda or upcoming agendas, speak up and help us do a better job. So anyway, that's the preface for the call. We usually take a look at the last call, and that was in December, mid-December, before the holidays, and was a discussion about Musema, a mobile tool, and demonstrating that. Any comments, thoughts about that call before we move forward? So today, I'm going to go ahead and open this on a separate page. Today we have an agenda of OpenMRS 2.2 release planning, and we had planned for any sprint updates, which we actually, that is timely now, given that we're going to try to rip off a quick sprint before our implementers meeting, and then getting a demo of an appointment schedule, a module that was created by Tobin and some other folks in Israel, and for 1.9, and then adapted for OpenMRS 2 by the PIH group. So looking at that as potentially including that in a 2.2. So in terms of these updates, I definitely want to get the sprint update done. So maybe we can start with that one. And do we have folks from, looks like I see Bonnie folks. Do we have Kenya EMR folks here? Yeah, I don't know. I'm not seeing right off Kenya EMR folk, but
Can someone ping them in the background, because part of the scheduling of this call was so that they can see the demo.
Yeah. All right. Well, at least we got the recording going. So we'll do that. We'll do that second. Maybe hopefully we could get someone, Steven or Sam or someone from the Kenya MR group. Who can ping them? Do I need to ping them, or Darius, can you ping them? Or Jamie, could you?
I'm just sending, Steven seems to be on Skype now, so I'm sending him a message.
All right. So we'll start with sprint updates. We'll then go on to the demoing the appointment schedule. We have, who is going to do that demo? Is that Mike or Darius, or is Mark on?
Hi, this is Dave. I'm going to do it.
Okay, cool. And then, we'll release planning. I think we'll put last because that is
that could take a little bit of time. So any other items people wanted to get in today before we start? Okay. As far as sprint updates, we actually are have a registration sprint that is that we talked about in the design forum yesterday. David and Audrey have been put together a list of tickets, and it's, I'm trying to remember, is that RA-228? Was that the right? Yeah, so this epic describes getting registration to a version 2 and for, you know, for OpenRest 2 and or OpenRest 2.2 in particular. And there is an Agile board for it. Oh, no, that's the wrong Agile board. Wonder why that goes to the wrong one. So presumably we're hoping this link is going to get clicked pretty soon to start a sprint. But our hope was to try to, because we have the OpenRest conference coming up at the within a couple weeks, to try to move and get some work done on that. And I know we have at least 3 to 10 developers that could be, have a decent amount of time to take tickets and run with them. So I had to leave the design call before it finished yesterday. Did we get through what we needed to be ready for the sprint? We did talk about Wycliffe being the technical lead for it, working with David and Audrey to get it kicked off. We need to get an announcement out today or tomorrow. Do we feel like we're in a position to start sprinting, tomorrow or Monday?
I believe so. I mean, I haven't touched base with what's your name?
David or Agi?
I haven't touched base with them,
Yeah.
On the target. Yeah, but I didn't touch base with them and coordinate.
Yeah,
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, I think that there's some notes from the meeting of updates I still need to make to the tickets. Once I do that, then, we can talk to Wycliffe to get the more, technical notes in there that need to be there for the tickets to be ready for developers to pick up.
Yeah, so I would say let's get you guys talking now because he could be taking those notes from yesterday in terms of where we needed some more technical points pointed out to developers and could be doing that in parallel with you. And I think you guys figuring out what, timing-wise, when you think you could do the kickoff, we need to get that figured out because we want to, once you guys know when you think you'll be ready, then we need to get an email out to the community and say, hey, we're starting the sprint and here's when the kickoff meeting will be. So.
Okay.
I think it's probably unrealistic to think that's going to happen tomorrow, but I would hope or challenge you guys to maybe if between today and tomorrow kind of touch base and get things kind of cleaned up and try to early next week get it kicked off so that we can try to get some tickets knocked out before the meeting. And the kickoff Wycliffe, you probably can help with this, is to make sure when we get that, when we do that, is to make sure it gets recorded so that, you know, that the assumption there is that that's a, you know, 10, 15-minute conversation of orienting people and saying where the tickets are and where to go with questions, and, you know, what you're trying to, the goals, what you're trying to get done with the sprint, and then that way people show up a day or two later, you can just point them to that, let them watch that video, and then question. All right. So imminent registration sprint, we're, thanks for all the effort going into to pulling that off. I'm excited to start the new year with actually getting some work done, so that's good. Any other comments about the registration sprint?
I just throw it, I think we have Steven online now, and we only have him for about 15 minutes, so
okay.
Maybe people can hold their questions. Steven, can you give a sign if you're actually on already? But we can start to, if we can jump straight to the...
Well, I think we're ready for that. So, David, do you want to share your screen?
Sure. Just going to click request control, I guess. Share screen.
No, I stopped sharing, so you can share. Are you where? Yeah.
Okay, can people see my screen?
Yeah.
Okay. So, first of all, I'm Dave.
Steven, can you see the screen? Yes, okay. And he can hear as well.
Okay,
good.
Great.
All right, we're good.
Great. So first, I just wanted to say hello, everyone. I'm Dave. I'm the business analyst at PH here. We also have on the line Mark Goodrich, who is the lead developer for the scheduling functionality. So I can lead people through the functionality, and Mark can answer any technical questions that people have. Mark, if your audio is working, maybe you can just say a few words about how we developed it and what we took from the already developed scheduling module.
Yeah, this is Mark. We basically, there was an already developed scheduling module within it kind of used the old UI that was developed by a team in Israel. It was really good. We added some new functionality to that that we needed, but more importantly, the more significant work we did, we also added a REST component to that so that all the main domain objects are exposed via REST. And then we created a complete new front end in something called the Appointment Scheduling UI module using the 2.0 framework to build the user interface that we use. And so that will be the interface that you'll see that Dave will be demoing. But it's basically like Angular, generally client-side code interacting via REST to access the appointment scheduling domain objects, and that's based on kind of the REST pattern laid out in the OpenRest REST module.
Okay, great, thanks. So we have all of our appointment scheduling functions mostly consolidated under this homepage icon, appointment scheduling. And they're laid out here. These are all the functions. They're laid out here in a somewhat logical order from left to right in the order that the users would generally need to perform these functions. So I'll just start with setting up service types. So we chose to call them service types. They're more like appointment types. That's the way I think of them as. And it's basically we can set up a type of appointment. And the ones we see here are in Creole because we set them up to mirror what's being used at Mirabelais Hospital in Haiti. But they're essentially appointments such as outpatient, TB, existing outpatient TB, first appointment, chemotherapy, general outpatient. they're essentially the appointment types that we hope to be using for the scheduling module. They can be set up by typing in a name of a service type. So I'll set up oncology new, and I'll say it's a 45-minute appointment. And we also built in the ability to keep certain appointment types as confidential, and that will hide the patient name on certain reports for that appointment type. And this is something that was specifically requested. So things like, say, HIV appointments could be kept confidential. The patients could be kept confidential. I'm going to go through this functionality rather quickly. We don't have a lot of time, and there's a lot of functionality. So just slow me down if anyone has any questions. So I've just set up a service type. The next thing I'm going to do is schedule a provider for that service type. So we have this page, manage appointment blocks. It shows by location. And all I need to do is, today's the 8th, I'm going to set up an appointment block for tomorrow, the 9th. So I'm going to schedule an entire morning for that service that I just set up. So the way it works is that it's built to book appointments not for individual appointment times, but for blocks. So what we found is that it works better if we give patients blocks of time that they can show up for their appointment. So they're using this by booking providers for, say, like an entire morning or entire afternoon for a block. And you'll see that the system will keep track of how many appointments are within that block and track the provider's time against that. So I have a block scheduled for a doctor tomorrow for an oncology new appointment. The next thing that would happen would be I'm actually gonna bring up patient record. And what you're seeing now is the dashboard that we have in Mirabelais for patient right now. And if a patient had an active visit, I'm just gonna start a visit. With a provider, the provider can, you know, they can do various things here, but one other thing that they can do is request an appointment. So I'm going to request an oncology appointment. So essentially I'm referring this patient to a specialist. I'm going to leave the provider open. I'm just going to say they need to you need to book this appointment anywhere from a day to, say, 10 days out. So now there's an appointment request out on the system. So the next thing that might happen is that patient then goes to the scheduler at the clinic, then brings up the patient within the scheduling system. And what you see is there are certain appointment requests out there. There are some old ones, but this is the appointment request out there that I just added. So from there, the scheduler can just click on that icon to book the appointment. And what this does is it does a search for all the appointments out there with that service type within the time frame that was suggested. And the scheduler can change the time frame, but it defaults to the requested time frame.
Where are the services coming from?
So those are the services that I entered in that first screen.
Oh.
So there.
You want to pull that screen up again?
Sure.
So you were. I saw you were defining types of appointments. You're doing types of appointments and services?
Yeah, so they're really types of appointments.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah, the terminology has gotten a little confusing.
Apartment types and service types are the same thing. Okay.
This is exactly what in the original version of the module in the old UI was called appointment types. I think basically in Mirabelle, they wanted it to be called service types, so we ended up calling it that in the UI. But it's exactly the same thing.
Okay.
Which may partially be because we don't have really a concept of a service in OpenMRS, so we were that's kind of what they wanted to model, but we didn't want to go for the complexity of, you know, we would try to keep it simple as possible to start out with, so it's just a flat single type called, I think it's called appointment type behind the scene.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So the scheduler can book an appointment by, again, clicking on that icon, and the system will do a search for the appointment blocks that have been scheduled out there for that service within that time frame. So it's bringing up the one that I set up earlier. So this is tomorrow from 9 to 12. And it's saying that in this block, there have been 0 appointments scheduled so far, so there's 180 minutes still available. So it lets you know how much time is available. So I'm going to choose that block and click Next. And this is essentially booking an appointment. I can give some, So you can give some notes that's needed, anything that you need to tell the patient. And that's essentially it. There's been an appointment scheduled for that patient. The next thing that might happen is the service, say the night before each night, they might look and see what appointments they have the next day. So if I pull up the daily appointments screen, I can view all the appointments that have been booked. It brings up by whatever filters you choose by location. I can filter on just the service type if I wish. But right now I just have this one appointment scheduled, so it's bringing up this one appointment. And what we find, this is useful at the clinic, they do things like the archivist will pull all of the dossiers that are needed for the appointments the next day. And this is where, by the way, this is where if the appointment was indicated as confidential, it would hide the patient's name and dossier number. So you can see that there was an appointment scheduled for that service for that doctor, but you wouldn't be able to see who the patient was on this screen if it was confidential. That's the crux of the functionality. There's a few other features. Let me just go in again with the new patient.
What happens when the patient checks in for their appointment?
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's true. There's that other whole flow. So I can quickly demo that by booking a slot for today. And this is a slot for today. And I'm going to quickly book another patient for an appointment today. So you can see, I don't need to have an appointment request out there to book an appointment. All you really need is just to search for the service in a time frame if you want to bring up the available appointment blocks. So both appointment blocks that I put out there are showing now for that service. You can see that for the slot tomorrow, there's already been one appointment scheduled, the one we already booked, and it shows you how much time is available. So I'm going to book an appointment for today.
Can you overbook
this patient? Yeah, so I was going to show that in a minute, but I can quickly...
Oh, that's fine. You can get to it later.
While I'm here on the screen, I can just quickly say... that if this was filled up or there wasn't enough time to book the 45-minute appointment, say... if I click that button and search, it would bring up everything. The reason this is only showing one block right now is because the patient already has an appointment at one of the blocks, but normally it would show both of them unless they were fill, and then if you click the show full time blocks, it would show all of the blocks even if they're full, and you could overbook. You could book to something that was filled up, and this would only show if you had the proper privileges. That's how that works. So the next thing that might happen is that patient might check in for that appointment. So I just booked an appointment for today for that patient. So when he shows up, right click. So what's telling me here is the patient will be checked in for this appointment. So the system knows that this appointment is happening for this patient, so it's going to assume that the patient is there for that appointment. So then, if I go to the daily appointments view, and I look at everything for today, you'll be able to see that this patient is checked in for that appointment. So the statuses that we have are scheduled. That's just an appointment that's out there in the system that's been scheduled. The next logical status would be checked in. So that's when the patient arrives and is checked in at that location. It assumes that the patient is being checked in for that appointment. If there was a consult note added that location for that day, it's going to assume that the patient completed the appointment. So the appointment will go to a completed status. And the other statuses we have for appointments are missed. So if the patient did not show up the day that they had an appointment, at the end of the day, that appointment status will go to missed. And the other status is canceled. There are different ways that you can cancel an appointment. So if the scheduler brought up this patient, you can see the appointments that are out there, and they can cancel if they want. Then, if I pull up the appointments for tomorrow, I can see that this appointment, there was an appointment booked for that patient, for that provider in that slot, but it was canceled. I think that's a sort of a high-level view of all the functionality. Mark, am I missing anything?
Did you show seeing the upcoming appointments for a patient? So you showed looking at all the upcoming appointments from the standpoint of the person scheduling, but if I'm a provider or if a patient comes in and says, hey, when am I supposed to see oncology?
Yeah, that's a good point. So if I pull up the patient, there is a appointments tab on the patient dashboard, and if I click that, I can see upcoming appointments. You can see that they actually have an appointment that's happening right now, and they've been checked in for it.
Cool. Is actions, does that include print?
No, this is just the general actions for the dashboard.
Oh, okay.
There are certain things that they want that we haven't built in yet, such as printing upcoming appointments and things like that. I think that's everything. So they are using this right now in Mirabelais Hospital for certain MCD services. They're using it for, I think, hypertension and diabetes, and the plan is to expand that to additional services once they have the staffing to book those appointments. Any questions?
So I put some questions into the notes. You already answered the kind of services for types versus appointment types. When you showed creating an appointment, you showed that you could put notes and implied that those were notes to the patient. Is there a way to make notes for the provider, or it's just really a note attached to that appointment and everybody sees it?
Yeah, it's just a note attached to that appointment.
Okay, and I assume that by the fact that you said you might say something to the patient that that if you go to look at the patient's upcoming appointments, you would see the note there.
Yeah. I don't know if we... That's a good point. I don't think you can see it from the patient dashboard. There are certain features that we haven't built in yet. That sort of notes is not probably fully supported yet. Like, ideally, you should be able to print out an appointment card for a patient to include those notes. So I don't think we've sort of built the functionality to fully support those notes yet. But that's the idea.
Okay. And then is it possible, so you showed creating blocks. If someone has a block every Wednesday for the next, every Wednesday at 2 p.m., 2 to 3 p.m., do you have to create each one of those manually, or is there a way to create a repeating one?
Yeah, right now you have to create them manually. It might be the sort of biggest usability issue with using this on a large scale right now. You would have to create each one manually. I think you kind of like played around with these widgets a little bit to see if there was any way to set up a recurring appointment easily, and there was no easy way, right?
Yeah, there was no.
But when you're in the create block form, you're basically in a little Angular form that is giving you the fields necessary. So it's conceivable that you could take that form essentially at the end of the day when you save this, it's making a REST call to create that block, I assume. The hope is that there's a REST call to create a block, and so if someone wanted to program a tool to create repeating ones, you might not have built in the architecture the notion that something repeats, but you could create a tool that could say, okay, create this block for the next 3 months every Wednesday.
Yeah, absolutely. We use an existing calendar widget. I haven't looked at it in a while to sort of building our own. So, first of all, the functionality in that may have been increased since we first used it, but we were kind of limited to what we could do there. And also, I think one thing, once you get into the repeating, you get into this, well, what happens if I want to modify all, you get into these complications that we were, for version one, we were looking to avoid.
Okay. And you mentioned the statuses of scheduled, checked in, missed, and canceled. Is there any capability to reschedule appointment? Is that a status?
That's something that we've talked about, but we haven't been able to build yet. We've even scoped out some of this functionality. We would like to have the ability to reschedule appointments even in bulk. So, for instance, if a provider wasn't able to come and take his appointments for the day, we would like to be able to flag all of that provider's appointments as needing rescheduling, and then it would go to a list of appointments that need to be rescheduled for the scheduler. But we haven't built that in yet.
Okay, cool.
There was a question about if we have autocomplete for the services. I was just showing that we do. Yeah, and to answer another question that I saw in the chat, you can book appointments either by provider or without a provider. So I can leave the provider blank. And book an appointment.
Sorry, so you can create a block that does not have a provider assigned to it, right? For which the provider is null.
Exactly.
And therefore, yeah, you could just have some blocks that are, effectively like provider to be determined.
Right.
And then
right.
When you're requesting the appointment, you may request an appointment with a specific provider. If the patient has seen that person before or something, but
right, and if you book it to that block, it's still going to be providerless. But you can edit. What you can do is set up the appointments, set up the blocks beforehand, so that without a provider, and then you can edit the blocks and add a provider if you need to. Whatever.
Cool. Well, I know, thinking of Ampath, that we already have tools that we've been trying to create some level of scheduling, and this seems like the basic level of scheduling that would be very useful from our standpoint. And kudos for you guys for keeping it fairly generic in terms of usability. Bonnie and I see Vivek writing. Steven and folks from Bonnie, does this look like something that would be useful to you guys as well? Vivek wants to know, is it really based on the REST API?
The reason I asked that was... from the functionality standpoint, this looks something that we could definitely use, both for provider-based appointments and hopefully for the appointments with the hospital. And we might need to build some reports on top of it to provide more information to the people who are responsible for getting the patients to the hospital, to call them in advance and things like that. But otherwise, this could be useful. Technically, I was asking that question because I thought this would be based on Groovy. So is this really based on REST API in the sense done the appointment module as a separate web app on its own?
So, I mean, the appointment scheduling module, we added resources for all the main appointment scheduling domain objects that extend the delegating CRUD resource from the web services REST module. So in that sense, yes. I mean, the app itself is basically some basic 2.0 pages with a lot of Angular in them that then call that REST API. I don't know if that answers your question or not.
I mean, so yes, everything is REST-driven.
So have you guys written this in Angular, this user interface?
Yes, it may not be...
Okay, yeah, okay. I didn't know that this was...
May not be best practice Angular all the time since we were using it for the first time, but it's pretty much in Angular with a couple of... I think the appointment service types page is just a plain GSP page.
But, it's not a full standalone or a full multi-page Angular app. Rather, it's Angular embedded in five different UI framework pages.
Exactly. Thanks, Darius.
Mark, did you see the questions that Steven had on the chat?
Sorry, I can't get the chat. I can't get the screen sharing to work for me, so can you Skype them to me or let me know what they are?
I'll copy them into the notes page, but go ahead and say it.
So he's concerned how integratable this is with Kenya EMR, or what it take to integrate this into Kenya EMR.
I don't know enough about Kenya EMR to answer that, but... I mean, yeah, that would be my, it basically, I mean, you could integrate, I mean, we're integrating into the reference application, and so you can see that I need to know more about what the Kenya EMR does. There are some custom things, like, for instance, the thing it checks a patient in, and shows their appointment is built directly into our check-in form. So that probably wouldn't work out of the box for you. You know, anything that's got its own, you know, UI page, if you could link to that, I forget how the header, I don't know how your header works, you know, if you're worried about header including it in, but, so not sure, but I mean, you can always, if you got a staging environment, you know, you can download it, install it, and see what happens and play around with it and see what it looks like.
Mark, there's also another question. How easy is it to use this as a plain Angular JS app?
It would probably need some significant reworking, because it is, I mean, if you're saying, like, no, none of the UI framework GSP stuff, then that would take some work. I mean, I haven't really thought about it, because I haven't built one before. I mean, you might be able to salvage a lot of the libraries and a lot of the stuff that we use, but... It does have about 3 or 4 or 5, you know, OpenMRS GSP pages that render the Angular.
I mean, there's a fair number of, like, you know, directives and controllers and factories and stuff like that. So I would say you'll probably have to look and see. It would be neat. It would be pretty cool, actually, to be able to add a, like, sort of within the same module, add an app, an application, or, yeah, you know, an app that actually just pulls in exactly the same, maybe different controllers, but the same directives and factories and everything, and resources and services. That would be that would be cool to see if that works.
Has anyone tried to load this module into the reference application?
Well, I mean, there isn't a huge difference between the our Mirabilia and the reference application, so no, but I mean, it should make the button should appear on the reference application page like it normally does. It should pretty much work. Again, some of the custom things like the integration with our check-in flow won't be there for you, but it should more or less work that way. I don't know, Darius, if you have any thoughts on that.
Yeah, the particular things that won't magically work, I think. One of them is when having the appointment get marked as like checked in. When the patient actually checks in is one thing
that
won't, and the other thing that won't work maybe is seeing the list of scheduled appointments on the patient's dashboard. Or maybe that will show up, but it's on the visit-based dashboard and not the clinician-facing dashboard.
And some of that may also be, yeah, I guess we have an appointments. Do we have an appointments tab? Yeah, so that would be based on the visits dashboard, and also some of the actions may need to be, you know, configured via JSON to show up where you want them to on the clinician patient dashboard.
All right. Well, thank you for the demo. I think. This is definitely close enough that it would be ridiculous for us to have, like, a bunch of implementations all creating different appointing scheduling systems. I mean, it has the basic functionality that I know from Tobin's, you know, and the Israel group's work that there was a pretty decent foundation, and it looks like you guys have built on it. A lot of useful additional functionality. The confidential stuff is pretty cool. All right. So I think we'll use that as a segue to use the last 10 minutes to talk about 2.2. So let me. So obviously we're not going to get a lot of 2.2 issues dealt with right now, but I think if folks haven't been following or haven't seen the technical roadmap page, we have a target for 2.2 and have the stake in the ground of having a release, whatever we can get done in March, because we've committed to March and September getting releases out. And we have several of these our plan to kind of get some discussion, trying to schedule some time to talk about them in Maputo to move them forward. But we've had some discussion already on trying to converge UIs or find where that common ground is there. We've had the folks in Bomni working on condition lists and hope to get a kind of a showcase or kind of a demo kind of their progress soon, and we have plans to try to get some of the basic order entry that was created for the Ebola project pulled in. PIH has been working on integrating multiple servers, and to the extent that any of that functionality can be pulled in, we were hoping. We've talked about registration and having a sprint scheduled to get that into 2.2, so that is starting imminently. Appointment scheduling we just talked about, and I think that's very close. I think it's realistic that we should be able to have that, based on what Mark said, that having that functioning in OpenRS 2.2 is very viable. We'll probably have some discussion in Maputo about the program-based workflow, but we've had some design discussions around that already. And then we wanted to make sure the REST web services got updated as needed by the Bomni group, and that all that, given that we start looking and seriously considering how folks that are in a 1.9 or 1.10 environment could get to into functional in a 2.2 environment. And I think this last, talking about the CL dictionary, is hopefully be addressed by work that's ongoing with the Kenny EMR team with the OCL subscription module. So those were the things that when we asked implementations to kind of say what was top priorities for them in terms of if they were even going to contemplate being able to at 2.2 to be useful to them, what features would they need? I don't know that we're going to hit 100% across the board on these. There are probably some things that we will have to get to meet a March delivery, probably have to opt out on. But we have several of these things that I think are moving well enough or have enough functionality that we could get them into, even if it was basically you had added registration and appointment scheduling and condition lists. That alone would be a nice move forward for 2.2. So one of the key things we need to do is figure out strategically how we're going to pull off 2.2, and I think the first step to that is kind of figuring out who is going to be a release manager for it. So ideally that would be something that between Darius and Jonathan, they could have an opinion about. So I'm going to stop talking and let Darius, I don't think Jonathan is on the call. Darius, do you have thoughts on who would be a good release manager, or do you want to just, should we just put a query out on the dev list and ask for volunteers and then make a decision based on if we get a volunteer or not?
Yes, I mean, I think that's what we should probably do. The release process for the 2.x releases, because they involve a whole bunch of modules and application level functionality, more are a little bit different than the, you know, than the platform release manager process, and maybe it's probably less documented. So we should put out a call and see.
All right. Darius mentioned on the chat. We kept on the radar the notion that we want to make sure that any needs for REST web services are being included. That takes a step forward if you know as necessary. So I think Jamie has sent out an email to Emerson, but if there are in particular existing tickets or a list of kind of features that folks are saying, oh, well, you know, here's some holes in the REST web services, getting those stated or announced somewhere publicly that we could, either start labeling them or prioritizing them and see if we can't knock out a few of those. By March, that would be a good addition. So yeah, and to be clear, I think Vivek, the point of that is not to just invent something to do with REST. I think the point of that is a placeholder to say, when we talked about priorities, one of the things that came up was we want to make sure the REST web services is evolving. So I think really that the way I'm looking at the enhancements to REST web services for 2.2 is just to say if there are some outstanding tickets or feature requests or bug fixes for the REST web services, let's get those aired out or as a community kind of identify what the top ones are now so that we can hope to make sure we've tackled them by the time we're releasing 2.2.
My sense is that Bomni actually wants to propose some fairly large new approaches, but okay. Basically, I think, yeah, you all should. The ball's in your court for that.
Yeah. Bomni. So if it's going beyond, we have this kind of backlog of things we like to see fixed or changed, and it's like we'd like to make some fundamental changes. We would definitely like to hear about those ASAP if we are going to have any chance of of addressing them for the 2.2 release.
So, all right, so we'll put a call out to the dev community just on the mailing list and say, you know, we're soliciting for a 2.2 release manager, and I put the stake in the ground that that I would hope before we get to the implementers conference, before that starts, so within the next 2 weeks, we should definitely have a release manager identified. So. And we'll be loud about that when if we get a volunteer. I know Joseph Kawisi has been doing great work with the 1.11 and would love to see a world full of people that mimic Joseph's awesome contributions. So, all right. We've reached the end of the call. Any last comments before we close the call? So we had talked about for next week's topics, a process for keeping track of components, libraries, and dependencies. I think that was basically saying we have, over the last several years, we've got several parts of OpenMRS, libraries we depend on, et cetera, that have been moving forward, advancing in terms of releases, and while we need to try to do some refreshes and updates on those, and we've got some of those listed in the upcoming conversations in terms of Spring or Hibernate and other libraries. I think part of this discussion was to say, can we figure out a way as a community that we could, not let that slip, or create some sustainable approach that would make sure that we're keeping those up to date when they need to be up to date, and not getting multiple versions behind. So that was one of the discussions. The other was to start planning for the implementers meeting. There's a hackathon, so having that discussion. And I don't know if, Michael, if you're still on the call, but I know the GCI work, you wanted to talk about that. We didn't have time today. So I don't know if you want to move that to next week as well.
Maybe not next week. I think it would be better to probably revisit that in a couple of weeks, maybe just after the Maputo event, perhaps.
Okay. So that's...
As soon as it fits in after that. Since we're so close to the end, we might as well take the whole project at the same time.
All right, cool. So just you can just pick a week in February where you want to do that, and we'll slide it in. All right, cool. Thanks everybody for joining. Sorry for for rushed pieces, but fitting everything in an hour call sometimes makes things rushed. The appointment module, I think that's it's great to see that evolving, and I'm excited to see that make its way into OpenRS 2.2. I think I went from being very optimistic about 2.2 to being very pessimistic, and now I'm back to some optimism in terms of us getting some meaningful things done. So I'm proud of everyone on the call and everyone who hasn't been able to make the call as a community. Little by little, at least each month, if we're doing a little bit better than we were the month before, that's the right direction. All right. Otherwise, thanks, folks, for joining. And join us for next week's call if you can. We'll see you in design forums or online or wherever, but between now and when we see you next, or at the Implementers Conference, we'll see you in cyberspace.
Bye, everyone.